Ash.
Taryn Renee.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a fact for you that's very interesting.
Ooh, hit me and with disgusting. It.
Did you know that your feet typically produce a pint of sweat every single day?
Oh my God. Ew.
Where does it go?
Yuck.
Where does it go?
Your socks.
And then it just dries and soaks and dries and so all day.
Ew. Oh, I hate this. I hate this a lot.
Where does it go?
Oh my God, no. Why does it go? Why do we have to start episodes out with this? I'm unwell. I'm unwell.
It's a brain teaser and a crowd pleaser.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Unsolicited Advice. I'm Ashley. That's Taryn. We are here to advise you on all of your life issues. How have you been, Taryn? Guys.
I'm great.
Taryn, if you remember from last week's episode, Taryn has moved out. We have lived together for over 3 years.
Yes.
And she officially moved out. This is her first Monday where like we didn't wake up and drive here together. Yep. Like she came over from her house to my house and then we drove over. So yes, we still drove together.
I feel like that's always the plan.
Yeah, yeah, that's just the case.
It's going to be the plan.
It's different. So like on our way here today, we were like catching each other up on how our week's been. And I was like, this is weird, but also familiar because that's how we did it when we first started this podcast.
Yeah, I feel like it's funny, like, I was sad. Like, I definitely cried. Actually, my mom was there, and she took the most
cutest photo.
Precious photo of us, like, crying and hugging. We'll totally put it up on the Insta. But I was sad because it's changed, and, like, for the things, like, I'm not going to be able to, like, just walk across the hall and you're there.
And just all the good memories.
Yeah, the good memories, everything. But I think, like, this is, like, just a good chapter in all of our lives. Like, we're all shifting, so it feels, like, exciting.
Yeah.
And then also, like, it's bringing back memories of, like, us when we, like, first became friends. And we'd just be like, what are you doing? Like, what do you want to do? You want to hang out? Want to go to dinner? Like,
what are you doing right now?
Want to come spend the night? Yeah. Like, and so that's kind of been, like, nostalgic and exciting, too.
Mm-hmm.
I love my place. It's been so fun living with my brother.
That's so cute.
So yeah, I'm like thriving. I'm doing really well.
I love this so much. It's been fun. And I think, I don't know, change can be scary, but at the same time, just so fun. So fun and exciting.
I think it's good change. If you handle it right. Like it was like, I feel like it was handled in a really good way. There's a lot of like open communication and just like support. And it's been great.
Wow.
But I was like so excited to see you today.
I was like, tell me everything. What are you doing?
I was like, I saw your story about this. What was that about? What were you doing? Tell me everything.
I need to know.
It was great. It was great. How about you, Ash? How are you doing?
You know, doing good. Doing good. I have since Taryn left, I took her closet.
Yes.
The day you left, I was like, okay, all my coats, like all the coats I own went from, because to paint a picture, I couldn't walk in my closet.
Which, like,
it was bad.
You guys should know this by now. Ash is a very, like, her room is always clean and organized. And even, like, when I walked in, I was like, Ash, your closet. And she was like, I'm not well.
I'm not well. It was bad because what happened is I had bought a couple coats for this winter for, like, snowboarding and winter and whatever. And then, like, I just get gifted clothes and I love it. It's great. But I just don't have the room for it.
Yeah.
So what's happened is I've gotten into a good pattern of just like deep cleaning my closet, donating it every few months.
Yeah.
But we were at a spot where it was like a really rough spot.
Too much, yeah.
So I went through, got rid of a bunch of clothes, and then all my coats went into Taryn's closet. So I now have a coat closet in Taryn's room.
Yeah, you do.
And it's been good. That room is completely empty. We need to make the bed and get a dresser and like little things like that. Mm-hmm. But very excited. It's going to be very fun. And just fun changes.
Yeah. I love that you still called it Taryn's room. I hope it's always Taryn's room.
What do we call it, you know?
The room of the room. She who must not be named. Well, you know, I wanted to switch it up on you, Ash, and I'd love to take the Taryn it up section.
Oh, my God. I love this.
Because
this is good.
I was productive and read emails before.
Nice.
20 minutes before the episode. So I'm prepared.
So much okay. growth. So much growth.
You know, this moving out has really changed a lot.
Also, if you don't know what a Taryn it up is a specific segment where you guys send in funny, hilarious stories. So if you are sitting on a funny story that's happened to you recently, an awkward one, an embarrassing one, maybe it didn't happen to you, it happened to a friend and you witnessed mm-hmm. it, please take this moment to sit down, type it up in an email and send it to us because we yes. love Taryn it ups. We live for the laughter and very excited
yes.
for it. So do that.
All about it. Okay, so this one is titled, I Could Probably Go to Jail, which Ooh. I was like, I'm interested.
Color me intrigued.
Hello, Ashley and Taryn. I love y'all so much. I never realized how much I needed to work on myself until I started listening to you guys.
Same.
It All wasn't we're trying until... to do is expose your weaknesses.
It wasn't until I started the podcast that I was like, I got some work to do on myself.
Me too.
Me advising me too. People and being like,
going home like, wait,
mental note for
I don't
self.
Do that. Yeah. Anyway, my name is Lauren, and this is the most stressful / embarrassing moment of my life. So I'm at work, and it's super slow. We had a total of 10 people come in, and it was like 4 o'clock at this point. For context, I work at a car wash, and it was raining that day. We usually have 4 people closed together, and that day we only had 2, me and my coworker Joey. We were getting bored and I was getting thirsty. Joey asked me to get a speaker out of his truck. He said it was already unlocked and both the items were in the center console. The employees need to park so far away, so I told him I'd go get it if he bought me something from the vending machine. He agreed, and so I went. Lord help me. I walk up to his truck. I open it up. I grab the wallet and the speaker, and I walk back to the building and put Joey's stuff on the counter in the break room. He asked me if I wanted to DJ, so I paired my phone to his speaker. I could not pair the speaker for the life of me, and eventually I asked for his help. He told me the speaker's name was Joey's Music, but the name wasn't popping up. I eventually got tired of waiting and gave up. I told Joey to play whatever music he wanted through his phone. I asked if I could take a dollar to go get a soda, and he asked me to hand him his wallet and speaker. Once I handed it to him, he froze and started laughing. Lauren, I said, my speaker and my wallet. Confused, I just stared at him. He realized I was being serious and just stared at me. After a second, his face just drops and he asks, Lauren, what truck did you get this stuff out of? I told him it was the gray truck parked next to my car. He says, Lauren, my truck is white.
No.
I legit almost peed myself. I told myself not to panic.
Robbery.
Right? I told him that I'd be back and I'm going to return the stuff. I ran as fast as I could back to the parking spots. I turned the corner to face 2 vehicles, my car and Joey's white truck. The gray truck had left.
No.
I just stopped and stared at the empty third spot for like 5 minutes. I slowly walked back to Joey and he saw the stuff in my hands and says, no shot, and starts dying laughing. I started to cry and freak out, and that made him laugh even more. I yelled at him to stop laughing at me, for I had just broken into a truck and stolen a wallet and speaker,
oh my
and I
God.
Didn't know how to return it. After a minute, we eventually looked at the man's ID and realized he came through the car wash earlier that day. We eventually found the man, and through tears, I apologized profusely. Luckily, he was extremely nice and told me that this would be a good story for him to tell his family at dinner.
And also a reminder to lock your doors.
Yes.
Come on, people.
Also, who keeps their wallet in this center console?
Yeah.
That gives me so much
with
anxiety.
With their car unlocked? Absolutely not.
I'm talking to you too, Joey. She ends with, Joey was nice enough to take me to lunch later that week instead of just buying a soda. What a gent. The end. Dude.
Wow.
I mean, I've almost gotten into a car, but I've never, to go in and take stuff. And, what are the odds there was a speaker and a wallet in the same?
Yeah, that's really
that's,
really bizarre. I have a Lexus NX, which is, a black crossover style car. I went once to a Lexus NX black crossover and completely opened the trunk. And I don't know if it was because my key worked with it or it was unlocked or whatever, but
no
I
freaking
had
way.
A bunch of groceries in my hand and I opened the trunk and I'm looking at it and I'm staring at a stroller. And I had a whole like moment where I was like,
I don't have a child.
Yeah, I was, but it was everything else felt right. Like the trunk yeah. looks right. I keep my trunks usually pretty like decently clean. Yeah. So it wasn't like cluttered, but there was this like stroller
yeah.
that was so clearly not mine. And I sat there for like a good, probably like 4 or 5 Mississippi seconds before it hit me. I closed it and like looked around all panicky and ran away. But yeah, sometimes that stuff happens. But that's what blows my mind is when people don't have their cars locked.
Because yeah.
I have such a strong habit of locking my car
me
to
too.
The point that I have locked myself out of my car
yes.
so many times. Taryn knows because 90% of the time
that.
She had to come get me while
yes.
I waited for the guy
yes.
to come and break into my car. But I have this automatic habit out of fear of people breaking in because I've gotten my car broken into before.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's where it stems from. But
no, it's not.
People, if you take anything away from the story today,
cars.
Lock your cars.
Check the color of the car you're going to mm-hmm. first. Also, I've heard of so many people getting their cars broken into recently.
Oof.
It's like we're in a crime wave.
Yeah.
Oof. People.
Oof.
Lock your cars.
Yeah.
All that to say. But thank you for writing that in. Send more Tearing It Ups, more scenarios like this where you're like, what just happened? Like, we need it. We need it for our sanity.
We need a good laugh.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com.
Okay, well, I'm super excited because that means I get to do my story
first. You never
get
to go first.
I love to do my story first.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
This one is titled Moving In Without a Ring.
Moving in without... Oh, got it.
Without a... If you like it, then you should put a ring on it.
But,
yeah. Okay. Taryn
yes.
was about to break into the dance.
I was.
Okay, diving right in. Hi, Taryn and Ashley. My name is Allie, and you can say it. I just
Hello.
Wanted to start off by saying I love you guys so much, and I'm so thankful for your podcast. The advice you've given on all the past episodes has been so helpful to me, and I'm sure many others. I hope you guys keep it going forever, because we all need help. Damn straight.
Don't I know it, girl.
Anyway, here's my problem, ... I love a good ...
I use ... frequently in my text.
Yeah, what are commas?
I don't know. Comas.
She continues, my boyfriend and I have been dating for 6 years, starting my senior year of high school. We've been together for a long time, but we're still so young, and he's a year younger than me too. I've always known he was the one, and we've talked about our future together and getting married basically our entire relationship. He's set to graduate college in December of 2022, and he's always told me he would propose as soon as he graduates. So I kind of planned for that timeline. Makes sense.
I mean, that's very specific.
Yeah. I would plan for that, too.
Like, it's not even like, hey,
oh,
I might
do this.
Let's both graduate, and then we can talk about it.
And then we'll
it.
See. We'll
it's
reevaluate.
Like, I graduate in December. Look for a ring.
Yeah,
3 to 5 business days.
3 to 5 business days. That makes sense. I would totally plan for it, too. She writes, I recently moved into an apartment with my best friend, and our lease expires in January of 2023. I thought that would be perfect because he and I would have time to find a place for the two of us after he proposes. I've always told him I need to have a ring before we move in together, and he has been very understanding and supportive of that decision. Just a couple of days ago, he told me that his lease is going to expire in May, which is just a few months from now, and that he wants to start looking for places for us. I always thought I would be ecstatic when it came time to move in with him, and while I'm still excited, the stress of all the opposing factors is ruining it. I still have nearly a year left on my lease. It's going to cost me nearly $2,000 to get out of it early.
Oof.
I'd be abandoning my best friend. I'd obviously have to help her find someone to take over my half of the rent. And on top of that, all caps, we're not engaged.
Mm.
honestly, the money is a fair amount, but it's not a huge deal to me in the grand scheme of things. I would just feel so guilty leaving my friend and breaking a promise that I made to myself just to help him out with a place to live. I love him so much and can't wait for our future together, but I feel rushed about this and a little bit like he's ignoring my principles. I know I have to have a conversation with him about this and I have to have it soon. I'm just not sure how to bring up something that's so important to me as well as incredibly stressful without making it a sore subject. I know he's going to say, "What's the big deal? You know I'm going to propose." And of course I believe him, but it's not even about that. It's about the fact that I told him and gave him my standard that I have, and he wants me to lower it and make it easier for him. How do I go about keeping this promise to myself while also keeping him happy? Are there any compromises you guys can suggest? I really appreciate you guys taking the time to read this. Any advice you would have would be seriously so appreciated. I wish you guys all the luck and happiness in the world because you two deserve it. Thank you so much, Allie. Well, wow. First of all, thank you for all the love. I feel warm and fuzzy inside.
Yes. Can I just say something?
What? What?
This whole episode, I just keep thinking if my feet are sweating.
Oh my God. Bring it back to the topic, Karen.
I'm just very aware of it. I just needed to say it. Okay, but I paid attention. Yes, say something because I have lots to say too.
Okay. Here's where my 9 self is going to come in.
Okay.
I fully understand both sides. I get him going, oh, if I'm going to propose in December, which is roughly like 5-6 months away from May. Half a year. Like, why? How can I find a place for 6 months before wanting to find a place with her? So I understand. I'm saying this because I think it's easy to see where he's coming from, saying, I'm going to propose. We agreed on this, but like 6 months, like, what's the difference? I understand what he's saying. But I think because of him thinking super logically, he is forgetting about the fact that he's asking you to break a promise that you made to yourself, a standard that you have for yourself. I think he's taking this way logical and you're taking this as, ooh, that's kind of hurtful.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I think, because he sounds like a great guy, he sounds like you guys have a great relationship. I think you just need to show him the emotional aspect of this. Because I bet he's just thinking, well, let's save money and we're going to get married anyways. And how am I going to find a place for a 6-month lease when I'm going to want to find another place with her afterwards anyways? I think you just need to remind him of the goal that you set and the standard that you set and help him realize that he's asking you to break that. Cause I bet it hasn't even crossed his mind.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. I get what you're saying of like where that could be the way he's thinking. And mm-hmm. I think that's why communication is so important because, you know, and we talked about it like, I don't even remember, one episode where you said the story of like the girl who started communicating to her husband, like the story I'm telling myself, right?
Yes.
Because a lot of times, Brené Brown, a lot of times,
I love Brené Brown.
Me and you even are coming from such different aspects. And it's not until you tell me how you're thinking and I tell you how I'm thinking. And mm-hmm. then we both sit and are like, oh,
yeah.
Like, this makes sense of why we're at this like hiccup.
Yeah.
And so I do think that is a very surface level, like, okay, like looking at it in a triage way, right? Because I think we all should look at conversations and conflicts this way.
Mm-hmm.
You step back and you're like, okay, what, like, how do I address first this, right? Like, I don't want to just jump in and cut you open for open heart surgery. Like, what if like, you just need an aspirin. Like, what if there's a tiny infection we just need to deal with? So I feel like if I look at this in like a triage sense, I would first go there. Like, okay, let's like sit and really like try to break down like where you're coming from.
Yeah. And I said this because I feel like I tend to be more on like the
very literal,
very literal sense. And 90% of the time, if me and Taryn have a conflict for whatever reason, I didn't even think about it. And how it might hurt her or how it might have affected her emotionally, because I'm not thinking about it emotionally.
Yes.
So I think it's important to address that first before having this deep conversation.
Yeah.
Because what if that's all it was?
Fully. And my job as a person who is in relationship with you is to learn how to hear what you say in your literal sense and not take offense to it, but try to understand and then communicate like where I'm coming from, right?
Yeah. And that saves you from dreading a huge conversation that might not even be necessary, because you could be like, hey, I don't know if you remember, but I told you I didn't want to move in until we were engaged, like actually engaged, not talking about it, like engaged.
Yeah.
And he could be like, oh shit, you're right, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
And what if that's the case?
I think like every time I go into a conversation where I'm like, oof, like this is a big deal to me, I always start off light and then I kind of, but I have my statements prepared of where I'm going to be like, hey, if I meet that resistance, gloves are off. Like now we're going to talk about it.
She has her outline, part A,
right? Part and B, that's when I start,
part C.
I understand.
Yeah.
And then that's when I start coming in.
I hear you.
I hear you.
And I understand where you're coming from.
But this is why you're wrong. No. But however, I do think there's a few things that stood out to me. One is I think there's a lot of things that could be seen as red flags that we ignore in the beginning of relationships because we rationalize it, right? If he does know where your heart is, he's hearing your standards and he's just brushing it off because there's something more convenient for him, that is a red flag to me. And that's something to pay attention to, because in a healthy relationship, you both are there has to be a mutual respect of here's what you're communicating are your needs and your things I need to respect, vice versa.
Yeah.
I think that if that is the case, a big conversation needs to happen of saying, hey, I've let you know where I stand. And that's not a small thing. Like, there's people who are waiting to have sex till they get married. There's people who are waiting to be engaged before they get married. And there's people who do a multiple, like, array of other things.
Waiting to be engaged before they get married.
What'd I say? Oh, before they move in. Yeah. That's what I meant. That's what I meant. Thank you.
I knew everyone else was going to think that. I had to address it.
I really appreciate you not letting me look stupid for longer than 5 seconds. But that is stuff that, like, when I tell you, hey, I want to be engaged before I move in with someone. If I tell you that, that's something that I made a decision for myself for multiple reasons, whether it's, like, that's my safety net, whether it's like
it's
that
what you're comfortable
is,
with.
Yeah. And for you to like push me past that, I think that is something to pay attention to. So I definitely think if he's like, hey, this is not a big deal, this is stupid, why are we waiting 6 months?
Then yeah.
I think that's where you step up and say, hey, this to me could possibly be a bigger thing, because I'm letting you know the things that I am setting for myself and you're not respecting it.
Yeah.
So I don't think like it should have to come into this big old thing, but I do think if you talk to him, he still is pushing you, he's making you feel pressured or diminishing what you want and making you feel stupid about your decision, that's where I think you need to have a bigger conversation with him.
Yeah. I think we've gotten really desensitized to how serious it is to live with someone.
Yeah.
They become your everything. You know, you were dating them for 6 years. Yes, your life was very much entwined. Obviously, that's a long time. But living together, that's very deeply intertwined. And if, God forbid, something happens and it doesn't end well,
it's not just a breakup.
Rip your heart apart. Like, you have completely mixed your life with his, and separating that is a lot harder than a simple breakup.
Yeah.
So I do think it's very important to walk into that very carefully. I wouldn't just live with anyone. And I like that you're that you set your goal where you feel comfortable and that you've made that very clear. So Taryn's right. I think if he shows any kind of, if he gives any kind of like sass to you for wanting to wait till you're engaged, like you told him forever ago, then there definitely needs to be some kind of conversation.
Yeah, because then it's like, okay, well, why are we waiting till December? Then propose now. Like, why am I moving my timeline?
This whole timeline was so that you could graduate.
Yeah.
Because that was a goal you set for yourself.
Yeah.
So this is the standard I set for myself, but we're going to break mine and not yours. Like, if we're going to get engaged, like, why not do it now? Like, it could go both ways. So him asking you to break yours isn't fair.
Yeah, I do think, like, there's just multiple things that I think need to happen. And if that's the case, if he's like, hey, I can't afford to get a place that like we would eventually live with or live in, then I feel like, okay, like maybe you move in with your family and get like a rental space. Like maybe you move in with a friend. Maybe you find somewhere that's kind of like not the best, but like does month to month. Like yeah. There's plenty of options, but I just think, I don't know. I get worried when I see people get in relationships and start bending so easily. There's a difference between compromise and bending.
Yeah.
Compromise is when you both have different like views, but it's like you find a middle ground.
A middle ground. Yeah.
Because they're both areas that it's like, this is important to me, but also I want to meet you somewhere.
And you're open to changing and bending a little bit,
yes,
but still holding strong to your core values
but
or whatever
you
those
saying,
are.
Like you've always said, and you've communicated to him, hey, I don't want to move in with someone until I'm engaged. Mm-hmm. That's more than something to be compromised in my personal opinion.
But
so.
I think that's also her opinion. I think she made it very clear like that is something that she wants to hold on to.
And she's living with her friend. Like she doesn't want to. So there's, I mean, when I hear your story, I'm like, oh, this, like, yeah, a conversation definitely needs to happen.
Yeah.
So I think I would go in, not accusatory, not like whatever, but just hear him
give
out
him
and
the
just
benefit
be like,
of the doubt.
Yeah.
He just, could be, you know, a little slow and just didn't realize.
Yeah.
And
be like
hey, me.
we've had this talk. This isn't a new thing. And I'm a little confused of what this change has been.
Yeah, a clarification
and
conversation.
I just want to hear where you're coming from and also re-communicate where I'm coming from.
Just want to remind you.
And then I would start slow, but if he starts, like I said, if he starts to be like, oh my God, it's 6 months, like dismissive, that's where you need to like step up.
I agree. I love this topic. I feel like we haven't talked about that specific situation. So thank you so much for sharing. I'm sure so many people have been in similar situations that are sitting here going, oh wait, ooh.
Please talk to him and write us back of how the conversation went.
Yeah, we need an update.
I really need to know. Yeah.
We need an update.
I mean, I need to know updates on everything, but yeah. Cool. Okay, well, thank you so much for writing in, sending all the positive vibes.
You got this, baby girl.
Honestly, too, I would practice what you're going to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That helps me when I'm like, I'll drive in the car and I'll just turn the music down and I'll literally have the conversation out loud.
Yeah.
And it helps me so much because like I'll try to like hear how I'm saying stuff or hear like certain phrases that like really resonated of like, yes, that's my most important thing I want to communicate.
Yeah.
And then it helps me to just like kind of fish through everything I'm going to say. And then I feel more prepared when I go in.
Yes.
So I 100%
agree.
In and I'm like, oh, what did I say?
Yeah.
But yeah, you got this. Everyone, ladies, gentlemen, everybody. Standards are important.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Okay. I am going to go on to my story. This one is titled, Is It Worth It to Power Through? What is with us and like singing? We should do the, you know, where it's like, you say a word, and then you sing a song. I feel like we'd be great at that.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. I'll show you later.
Okay.
It's on the TikTok.
Okay. The talk.
Is it worth it to power through anxiety for a career?
Huh. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
That honestly, sounds good. Maybe.
I'm intrigued.
Maybe not.
I'm intrigued.
Okay. Hi, Taryn and Ash.
Hey.
I hope you are both doing well. I just wanted to start by saying that I love this pod so much. I listen to it every Monday, and I have also gotten my best friend hooked on it, too.
Atta
girl. You guys are seriously the coolest, and I think you are both so, so wise. Thank you for all that you do. First of all, you not only love
hype
us.
Hype me up.
You not only hype us up, but you're also spreading awareness of the pod.
Uh-huh.
Like, we love you.
Listen,
Linda.
You're our favorite. Don't tell anyone else.
Yeah. Shh. Okay. Here's an intro to me. I'd like to stay anonymous. Your wish is our command. I'm a sophomore in college studying mechanical engineering.
Ooh, get it, girl.
I am an Enneagram 3 through and through.
Oof. Hello. Nice
which,
to meet
like,
you.
if you know
The Enneagram?
Yeah. Fun fact, Taryn and I love the Enneagram. It is a fun personality test that I find to be extremely accurate tool. Obviously, this isn't science, but it's a really great tool to get to know the people in your life a little bit better and how to live life more efficiently with them and what they need and what they take. A three is a very driven, very powerful, very focused, very career-oriented, success-oriented person. And they tend to prioritize that over everything else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we know threes.
I know a lot of threes.
We know a lot of threes.
I love me some work and academic validation. So overachieving and working myself to death comes naturally. Anyways, on to my story. When I started college, I began to struggle with anxiety. I missed my dog and I was anxious about my career and my grades. Flash forward to this year, all those feelings from last year are amplified, on top of the fact that I've taken too many credits and I'm trying to work three on-campus jobs. They're only 5 to 10 hours a week each. I know it's a lot, but they are such good opportunities for me to further my career, and I couldn't say no. Which has made my anxiety worse. I've even started to feel a little depressed. There are days where I keep myself busy from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep, so I just don't have to think, because once I start to think, I feel horrible and want to move home. I keep telling myself I should be able to do it all, and everyone around me is doing the same thing, so why has it been so hard? I call my mom practically every night and just cry about how much I want to move home and how hard it is. My mom is a therapist, so she is very much all about making sure I'm in a safe space, and my mental health is a top priority of hers, which I really appreciate. I know, I love that. We talked about a month ago about where I was at and how I need help with my anxiety and stress. I decided I would finish this semester and then take the next year off to focus on my mental health. I felt good about this decision for about 2 weeks, and then the Enneagram 3 in me took over. I began to experience FOMO and criticize myself for needing to take a break. Why do I need a break? Everyone around me can do this. What will people think if I take a break? I'm a failure. I'm not good enough. I have to prove everyone and myself that I can do this. If I take a break, all these opportunities in my way will disappear and I'll miss out on so much. Girl. It's a lot of negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. I've let these thoughts take over the rational part of my brain, and now I'm just confused on what to do. It feels like no matter what decision I make, I'll be anxious and disappointed. I really like my major. I'm having so much fun when I'm busy, but once I stop, I don't know what to do. On one hand, I know taking a break would be so beneficial to me because I could focus on my mental health and I would be less busy so I could start going to therapy. But I don't want to miss out on opportunities, let people down, or get behind. On the other hand, I could power through my junior year and continue my career, but I could possibly be just as anxious and stressed as I am right now, or worse. This brings me to my questions. What advice do you have for me about how I can make the best decision? Should I really be considering taking a break, or is it just worth it to power through my anxiety for my career? Anyways, love you too, and I hope you're able to give me advice on this situation. Love, Anonymous.
Wow. Deep breath.
Honestly, I just felt like I needed to breathe after that too. I have, you know, it's so hard because, like, I want to just, like, sit and ask you questions. Uh-huh. Like, to me, this type of scenario is, like, when a friend comes to me with, like, this, I'm like, all right, like, let's get a list out. Like, let's brainstorm. Like, let's start going through things. Mm-hmm. So I feel like right now, and I don't know if this is a three thing, because I feel like I have this conversation with a lot of threes. Mm-hmm. Every problem is this massive, there's a red button and there's a blue button, and you have to choose a button, and once you push it, you can never return. Yeah. Like, that's it. That's the end. Like,
so traumatic.
Deal with the consequences either way. Like, it's very all or nothing with threes. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like sometimes it's really helpful to sit with people who are like, what about, like, the yellow, purple, like, teal?
There's
like
a lot of gray.
There's so many other buttons here.
It doesn't have to be black and white,
Because when I first read this, I was like, okay, why don't you take less units? Like, why don't you take, like, only do, like, one on-campus job? Yeah. Like, why don't you, like, go to halftime and then do therapy, but you're still, like, involved in like progressing. So that's where I'm like, I wish I was like in person and could talk to you about this anonymous, because those would be the questions I'm asking. Because sometimes it's not as helpful for some people to like fully step aside and focus on mental health, because they get very wrapped up in like, I don't know what I'm doing, and it kind of spirals them more. So it just depends who you are. Like for me, I could take a year off and focus on mental health and I would come out a butterfly. For other people, like we know Ashley's sister, one of my really good friends, ex-roomie, she's a three. When she takes breaks, it's not always the best thing for her, because she doesn't physically know how to like fully
take a break.
So it's
she always kind of works, so is still tired and didn't actually like make a full comeback.
So I think that there's multiple options, and I feel like you need to sit with multiple people and just hear how they would handle a situation, have them ask you questions, write down lists. Like, I feel like there should be a big process, because I don't know if the answer is just take a full year off or like drown yourself. Like, I feel like there has to be a middle ground.
No, I completely agree. I had a similar, obviously, I had a similar situation in college. I transferred into a school where I had to minor in theology. It was my choice. Why? I don't know, but I did it.
I transferred in halfway through.
I had 2 years to complete my entire minor, which meant I had to double up on all of my units. Like, I had no choice. But I was also working full time, and my parents weren't paying for school. I was paying for school, so I couldn't not work. And, you know, I had like my car payment, all those things. And I remember being burnt out and not having enough mental capacity or physical capacity to do it. But I was so close to the end, and I had to sit down and be like, this is not sustainable, and this isn't okay for the future, but for these next like 8 months, I'm not breaking. I'll sleep when I'm dead mentality. Like, I was like, I can do that. And then like, then we'll take a break, then we'll focus on it. But I knew that I could physically get through the very, that last year, because I was like, I can, and I'm just going to buckle down and get it done. If you are at a breaking point and you don't see any way to like physically get through it, because sometimes you have to, then you have to downsize. Is what it is. If that means that you don't graduate at the end of your 4 years and you have to graduate the following semester, so be it. Like, it's not the end of the world. I think
nobody
a lot of
graduates
people,
college on time anymore anyways.
I think a lot of people have this idea that they have to do it within 4 years, and that is not the case. Also, background, like, it took me a full 6 years to graduate college, because I did community college before I was eligible to like come into the 4 year, because I couldn't afford the 4 years. So I had to make school work for me. And there's nothing wrong with that. So if that means you push your grad day like a little bit, that's totally fine. And I feel like, and this is something that really resonates with my sister, taking the time to take care of yourself now means that you'll be able to work more effectively in the future. And if what you're doing right now is producing half work, are you really happy with that? Because I bet the three in you hates that. And if you, especially if we're talking school, you don't want to be half grades. So I would much rather, and I'm sure you would much rather, cut something out, take your time, and do it well. Instead of having to like not successfully do something.
I think there is like, this is a total like you, not problem. I feel like that sounds weird. This is a you problem. But it is like something where you're going to have to sit with yourself and be like, hey, like,
this is something only you know the answer to.
Like, that's what Ash did. And she was like, I can do this. So she did it. But not everyone can do that.
And there was a lot of social things I couldn't. I went to a school that I had like no, not a lot. I didn't have, I had friends. I didn't have a lot of friends. Because I didn't have time to pour into friendships at school, or go to like school events, because I was working. So it was like, I had to drop something, and the social aspect of college was it for me. I was like, nah, I need the money.
No, for sure. I would definitely just feel it out. Like maybe a semester off, like maybe, I go home for a semester and I do online classes. Like, maybe I, like, whatever it is, I would definitely, like, explore all of your options. Mm-hmm. Like, if it literally is just, like, I'm curious how far you live from school to home. Because if it's that, like, maybe, like, weekends you go home and you, like, do, like, work from home or, like, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that college isn't meant for you. Like, maybe you need to find a college that's closer to your home. And, like, yeah. You know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard for me to give, like, concrete advice because I think there's so many options out there. So I would literally just start to interview all your friends and family and find out, what can I do? But no matter what it is, it sounds like you really need to focus on prioritizing your mental health. Like, you got to get into therapy. You got to get a relaxing hobby. Like, you've got to get, like, some time in your schedule, whatever it is. You can't continue to just go and hope that your anxiety goes away. Like, you have to, like, do something about it.
If you don't take care of it now, it'll come back with a vengeance and take over everything.
Yes.
Like, it'll bleed into friendships. It'll bleed, obviously, your career. It'll bleed into relationships. Yeah. It'll take over everything. So it's really important that you prioritize that now before it becomes too big and out of control.
Yeah. No, for sure. But yeah, so that would be my advice. I mean, I hear how much anxiety you have, but I would have that much anxiety too if my options were, like, that vastly different.
Yeah.
So I think you just need to really feel it out. If you end up taking a year off, then, like, take the year off. And,
purposefully.
Like, don't sit there being like, oh my gosh, my career is going behind. Like, my schooling's going behind. So many people do it. And there's not a right or wrong way to do, like, your path. Like, it's your path. Yeah. So take the pressure off, no matter what decision you make, like, take the pressure off of yourself. Like, you're gonna do it. If you have to go to school an extra year, well, so did all of us. So
yeah,
it'll be okay. Yeah. You know,
you'll survive.
But that would be, like, I guess my advice for this. But I feel like hopefully you hear this and you just take a deep breath and are like, okay,
yeah,
I can do this. Like, I got this. I'll figure it out. But there's lots of people, I feel like, in your shoes too.
Yeah. Oh, it's so common. I took a year off. I was scared at first and then I loved it.
Yeah.
And I came back and was like, okay, I'm going to finish school.
Now I'm ready. Yeah. Yeah.
I needed to clear my head. It was so necessary.
For sure. Well, thank you so much, Anonymous, for writing in. We're wishing you the best of luck. You got this. And everyone listening, make sure to send in your stories. Follow us on Instagram and all the things because that's where we, you know,
because we're fun,
get to, like, hang out with you guys. Ash, can I say a dad joke that I know is, like, so stupid? I mean, I guess depending on who is listening, all of them are stupid, but this one's so stupid, but I'm gonna say it.
Okay,
anyways.
Let's just do it. Let's do it.
What did the 0 say to the 8? That belt looks good on you.
Oh, you mean sash?
What? No, the belt.
Oh, it cinches it in. Oh, got it, got it.
What would sash mean?
I don't know.
I'm convinced that 30% of the time, you answer it as if you know what I'm talking about, but you weren't really paying attention. But, like, you get away with it. Like, I think we're having a conversation, but you're like,
yeah. Oh, I had a picture in my head that was so wrong. It was so wrong. But yeah, that's so good. That's really good. Wow, guys. If you made it all the way to the dad joke, we love you the mostest. Thank you so much for listening. Yep. Again, like Taryn said, if you're sitting on a story that you want some advice on, or you just want to share a story with us, either way, go ahead and take the time and write it out to us and send it over to us because we want to read it and our listeners would love to hear it.
Yeah.
We love you guys so much and we'll talk to you in the next episode.
Love you.
On Monday.
Love you.
Bye.